Can I tell you a beautiful story that happened with me as well? This is something I've manifested into my life. My dream for the longest time was to be a writer. Ever since I was a kid, I loved it. Creative writing, reading books, it was my dream, right? To write a novel. And then also I think it's every little girl's dream from watching like the 2000s rom-com was to work for a publishing house. So either a pub, what?
Can I say something?
Of course.
If you like her words, read her words. She's even a better writer.
Thank you.
Honestly, I already thought you were a writer.
She's a much better writer.
I really want to write a book. And one of my followers DM'd me that she had a dream about me.
Writing a book.
I wrote a book. And I think, inshallah, if it's meant to be, I would love to. So my dream, my whole life was to be a writer. And, you know, things transpire. Life takes you to places. So when I was 24... or 23, I started working for a publishing house here, but I was in the events department, okay? And I loved it. Just getting my foot through the door, I was like, I will figure out my way to one of the magazines. So I started with the events, and I learned a lot. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to every department I've ever been in. It's gotten me to where I am today. So my boss at the time was not quite a lovely lady. She was quite horrible. But again, for a reason, I attracted it and I learned everything I needed to learn out of that. COVID was about to hit. Mm-hmm. So they announced March 12th, 4 days before my birthday, that...
Today.
Oh, today. SubhanAllah, I am saying the story exactly a year later. They announced that events were going to be shut down. Okay, now put a pin in that for a second. February 19th, we had an event where I showed up on set from 6 a.m. I think I left at 4 a.m. because I had to stay with the dismantling and stuff. And I went home and cried. Like, my mascara was... I was exhausted. My boss treated me like dirt on her shoe that day and took all the credits, even though it was all my work. Fine. And I was also young, blah, blah, blah. I was devastated. So I woke up the next day and I was like, khalas, I am determined. And I went into the office and I had my little journal, and it was a Harry Potter journal. And I convinced myself this book is magic and everything I write in it will come true. Okay? Delulu. Delulu is the Sululu. And I was like, khalas, this is a magical book. Every word I write in it will come true. And I did not argue with myself. I said it and it's done. There's no room for argument. So starting February 20, I went in, and every morning before I even opened my laptop, I would take my journal, I'd write the date, I'd write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim on the top, and I would start writing thank you to the managing director of that company. She was one of the managing directors of some of the magazines. Mm-hmm. And I would write her by name for giving me my job as editor of this magazine. I'm so grateful for my job. Thank you so much. Done. And then I'd start my day. So from February 19th until March 12th, when they announced the pay cuts, and all events were done. Okay. Oh, side note. Sorry. When I went in February 20th, we were starting to prepare for 3 back-to-back events, March 24, 25, 26. And I was about to have a nervous breakdown. I was like, there's no way. I'm still with this woman and I have 3 back-to-back events. I will die. So that's why I started journaling. And I kept doing it until March 12th. March 12th, they announced the events are done. So March 24, 25, 26 is not happening anymore. Okay, mm-hmm. So first thing that I didn't want to happen isn't happening anymore. They announced the pay cuts and all events are closed. We're like, fine. And then they said that they will move us all to different departments that are understaffed and need help. Okay, they moved me to Cosmopolitan, where I became content editor, which is exactly what I wanted, on my birthday. So March 16th. And what I was journaling, by the way, was by my birthday, I am editor of Cosmopolitan. So I was journaling thank you to the managing director for my job. I love my job. I'm very happy. And in my mind, I had it resolved that by my birthday, I am editor of Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, I remember that very well.
March 12th, they announced the pay cuts, so the events weren't happening anymore. And events were canceled, right? So March 24, 25, 26 wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. March 16th, on my birthday, which is what I had said, by my birthday, I'm editor of Cosmopolitan. My boss at the time, who was the head of the events department, comes up to me and is like, we're moving you to Cosmo. And Millie, I'll give her a shout out, God bless her soul, was such an angel. She's a British woman, and she was so excited because she was like, you're Arab, you speak Arabic, you're great at makeup and fashion, do whatever the hell you want. And she gave me full rein, and she was nothing but supportive and loving and kind and you know. So this is one of my top stories.
I love that.
Yeah. I just remembered the details now. I completely forgot.
I remember it very well.
I forgot that I said by my birthday. You see, subhanAllah, how the brain is. Miraculous things can happen to you and you forget. I forgot those little details until I uttered them again now.
Oh, I don't forget miracles. I see them almost every day.
I know, but my feeble little mind forgot those little details. Yeah, because I say this all the time. I'm not a saint. Every time we sit, I'm re-teaching myself and re-implementing and replanting. Not planting, re-watering the seeds. Mm-hmm. You know? So,
for me, your story, that's me and this job.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Explain.
Because I went from working for 5 brands, working under 5 different managers. It was a very toxic environment. And I thought I'd kept telling myself that giving me all of this responsibility of handling 5 brand social media, that would have been great for me to like grow and expand. But all it did was crush me day in and day out. And the minute I came here for an interview and I met the HR and everybody here, I knew for a fact that if I really wanted to grow and if I really wanted to do something that I'm so passionate about, which is videography, which I'm very passionate about. And also, I get to listen and be part of interesting conversations, which is what I love doing.
Okay.
I'm always the kind of person who goes like, do you want to have like I will take a karak at deep chats any day.
Any day. Me too. If you tell me, let's go for a drive, park by the beach, get a karak and talk, I live for.
I'm so for it.
I agree.
Let's go one
day. I'm down. But I want to take that a step further. So my story is quite beautiful and it has not so such a happy ending. I was only editor for less than 6 months. I had to quit. And it devastated me, right? So and then I had to resolve the fact that that was my dream for a little bit and I got a glimpse of it. But it wasn't, that's not what I was made for. It's not what I was meant. So I have to ask you, if you lose it all today, what would you do? How would you feel?
Devastation is part and parcel of it. But then again, it's about this being here does not define my life.
Okay.
This job does not define my life. There are so many. I love going back to this analogy that I keep doing. I say it in all of my relationships. I don't know why. But I always look at myself as Jupiter.
Like the universe?
No, me.
Like
my life.
Yeah, Jupiter, like the planet?
Yeah, the planet.
Oh, okay.
I look at myself as Jupiter.
I didn't see this going here.
I know, this is funny. I would love your 2 cents on it, both of you.
Okay.
So I look at myself as Jupiter. Jupiter has 64 moons.
Okay.
Maybe, 64 moons, but it has around 60 plus moons.
Okay.
Which constantly revolve around it.
Okay.
And so many of these moons, so like, I can name, they're constantly revolving around. They could be, one of the moons could be my relationship. One of the moons could be my job. One of the moons could be my relationship with God, my relationship with my family, my friends, all of these things. I have so many things revolving around me. Just because, so in terms of relationship, it's just one of the moons. It's not the moon, it's just one of them. And just because I lose this person, that does not mean I have to, just because I have this doesn't mean that my attention is divided or my efforts are divided. No.
I understand the concept.
When was the last time Jupiter lost a moon?
I don't know. Does it lose moons? You can't lose them. I was about to say.
Some of them are very tiny, Baba. So they just like go out of orbit, maybe.
I understand the energy, but the analogy, not so much. Because if it loses a moon, I think everything falls off its axis.
I don't think so.
Literally, if Jupiter loses a moon, everything falls off its axis.
They're revolving around Jupiter because of its gravity.
Baby girl.
it's a good analogy.
I get what you're saying.
I know it's technically flawed.
But we need to find the new one for you.
I understand
what you're saying. You're saying you're not attached to something. You don't attach your value and your life and your state of being to something. If it stays, it stays. If it goes, it goes. Yeah. Everything's a learning process.
Yeah.
That in itself, beautiful. I fully agree with that. It's what we say at all times. The power of letting things go.
There were times in my life where I was heading in a certain direction and then the road got blocked.
Fully. Just the...
And I remember very much myself in my 20s and where I'm standing in front of the road and knocking my head with the wall. Like why?
And you freak out.
You freak out. And then you're fighting and you're so distressed and you're so angry and you're so frustrated. And a year later, I look at the situation and I was like, oh God, thank you.
Yeah.
What would have happened to me if I continued in that path?
This is what I came to terms with yesterday. Not came to terms with, that I went through that again. And I think Khalil Gibran talks about this a lot. I quite love him. He mentions that the more pain you can feel, the more happiness you can feel. And it's very hard for some people's feeble minds to comprehend, but let's dissect it for y'all, okay, girly pops? The more pain, and any kind of pain, like the deepest, worst kinds of pain you can feel, the more happiness you can feel, because once you have the opposite, you're even more grateful and more... Not everyone has the capability to do so, but in my case, for example, when I go through anything painful or traumatic, now, like I was saying, like yesterday I was having a very hard day, I kind of was very happy about it. I was so happy about it. Because I know that the opposite is right around the corner. So I actually look forward to it now because of everything that we've said. So God tests you because he loves you. Argue with me, I don't care. This is God tests you because he loves you. So when I remembered that, I was saying, Alhamdulillah, I am in God's heart. You know what I mean? The second thing is, وَعَسَ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٌ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And Rumi has a poem about that. Why are you so against the opposite side? Maybe it is much better than this side. Completely butchering this poem, by the way, but the energy is the same. So I remembered that and I was like, oh my God, I'm about to get to the better side. All of, you know, I actually embraced it rather than fight it.
You see, all that had happened, all that is going to happen is there.
Has already happened.
Yeah, it's there. And if you've been given the access to see it, you might not be able to handle it because you still have a will. I like, I don't like. And most of our pain comes from our resistance. We resist that what is happening. That's why we are in pain. But if we have submission and we understand that there is a plan and we're going through it, and if a door is closed, knock the door beside it. If a bath is closed, seek another one. That pain will, if it does not disappear completely, it will listen. And there is no other way of going through it.
Yeah.
Because
you literally have to just go through it.
Think of you know those maze?
Mazes, yeah.
Yeah. Life is like that. You don't know if the turn you're taking is an open turn or a closed turn.
Yes.
But what if it's a closed turn? What do you do?
Turn back.
Turn back.
Change your route.
So but most of our pain is we are in resistance. Why it happened? It should have not happened. It should have happened this way.
I think we equate our value and intelligence and with these things. So if you, let's say, came up with a great idea or something and you find the door closed in your face, you immediately equate it to, I'm a failure. I'm good for nothing. I can't get anything right. So it has to work because it was my, like you said about the maze, I chose to turn right and it was closed. And you, instead of going like, okay, God's plan is bigger, there's something even better around the next corner, just change your route, you have this deep attachment to, but I chose to go down this road. And do you get what I'm saying? It's an ego thing, I believe. It's the resistance to how could I possibly have chosen something wrong? You're not a failure.
What I see, there is a social plan and there is an intellectual, spiritual plan. The social plans, a lot of those social plans claim that they seek spirituality and they're also helping you with that.
What do you mean by social plan?
What society tells you to do.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I just wanted to clarify.
And the conditions they put over you.
Okay.
For being good or bad, right or wrong.
Okay.
Success or failure. And society, most societies give themselves, claim a superiority. But in reality, what makes a society bit superior or not is how much resistance it creates within itself, and how much resistance, how much of difficulty the individual is facing in general. In another ways, in a much simpler way, how much society, how much of the society, how much of the social, I should say, how much of the spiritual, intellectual aspects are still embedded in the society without conflict.
Without conflict.
Yes, of course.
It's such a deep yet simple idea that it required me repetitive...
That makes a lot of sense. And I say this a lot. If you just, like my dad said about, for example, the documentary about the black leopard or so, if you just go, excuse me, go and watch those interviews, and I'm talking about those really long, in-depth, not just the very surface-level interviews, with some of the top entrepreneurs in the world, with some of the top martial artists in the world, and you really listen to their life story, nothing ever went their way. Yet they are the most mentally disciplined and persevering people. So they have mastered the balance of being so mentally disciplined and persevering and motivated and training and practice and go after what you want. And with that, there is a simultaneous balance of I let everything go and let God do what he needs to do. And they have achieved that part that... Like I was saying before, of it's not virtuous to just say, I'm so disciplined, I go after what I want, and you think that you're the top of the top in society because you're so disciplined and go after what you want, but you have the inability to take a step back and say, oh, that was the wrong road. Oh, God doesn't want me to go there. Oh, I made a mistake turning this way in the maze and I need to go back and go somewhere else. You are not a great person for doing so, because you are so far off one side and so extreme in that side, you cannot be great, because you don't have the ability to let things go. And then there's the other side, and this is extremes, of people who don't go after anything and just let go and don't do anything at all. And I go back to, I always say, اعمل اللي عليك والباقي على الله. You do your part and the rest is up to God, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to find that balance of, because I know a lot of the comments will be like, no, but you have to go after what you want. Okay, baby girl, go keep hitting your head in that block of the maze from here until the end of days. Let me see how that works out for you. Mm. I'm not saying don't go after what you want, but there is a way, there is an art. And the richest, most successful people in the world have mastered it.
Oh, true. Would you be willing to say that there's no one way to get what you want? There are multiple ways.
Yes, but the energy is what I'm talking about. Okay. So this is exactly what I'm saying. There are multiple ways of it. Could be go after it with the ability to let go. And that's one way to go after what you want. And you might end up getting what you want or even better. Mm. You know, there are multiple ways. But I'm talking about the energy of mastering the mental discipline and the beauty of letting go. That is the only way.
The goals and destinations are different, but the methodology is always the same.
Yes. Mm. Just to answer your thing. You're saying, is there different ways to get there? And I said, yes, as long as the energy is the same. Mm. So, and his answer was no. The destinations are different. The energy is the same. So I think it's the same answer. It may look as different ways because the destinations and the people and the routes are different. So to you, it's like they got to their goals in a different way. Mm. But if you go back to it, their energy is the same. It's like I said, mastering that art of mental discipline and the ability to trust God and let things go.
And my answer was yes. The destinations are different.
No, she said they... Oh, okay. Okay, so we said the same thing. I get it. I thought you meant the destinations in the sense of her goal is to be a videographer, my goal is to be a writer, for example.
Yeah, goals are different. But the destinations are different.
Yes. No, she asked, there's different approaches to get to where you are. Absolutely. And I said it looks different. But so again, videographer, for example, farmer... writer. I only said farmer because his dream is to like own a piece of land and live on it. We can go, our journeys look different, but if the energy of what we're talking about is the same, then the energy is the same. Does that make sense?
Integrity. She's a cook, she's a painter.
Okay.
She would end up painting an amazing painting that you asked her for. Mm-hmm. She would end up cooking you a master meal. But both are done with what? With integrity.
Yes.
Mm.
So the goals are different, but the method...
The method, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The energy is the same. So yeah, it can look different in,
for sure,
you know, but the energy is the same. The integrity, the love, the balance, the discipline, the trusting in God. Yeah. basically.
So here's my other question. How important is believing that God does play a hand?
Very. It is the most... Oh, because girly pop. It is the most... I was about to say, I don't know if I should say this, but I will. If there is one advice before anything I've ever said that I would give, is find God.
That in any way,
everything.
Shape, or form?
In what?
In any way, shape, or form.
In any way,
in
shape,
any
or,
way
form.
Shape, or form. See, I was going...
Because God is God.
God is God.
There's no shape, no form.
One of my favorite... Yeah, go. Sorry.
It's okay.
No, go. I'm not going to Mexican standoff.
If you genuinely seek God, he will lead you to him.
Yes.
And she's right, he's wrong. My religion, your religion, I leave all of this. If you genuinely seek God, he will lead you to him. You could be in the tip of the Himalayas or in
one of my favorite comments. One of my favorite DMs that I received from a follower was, I'm not a Muslim, but I know we believe in the same Allah. It's just that simple. And, you know, I watch, there's a YouTuber, his name is George Janko. He used to be on Impulsive with Logan Paul. And he started his own thing. And he's a very devout Christian. And he's, you know, teaching people about the faith and all of that. And I watch his podcast, a completely different religion. It's not the religion I follow. But I love the beauty, because he's still really giving people beautiful things to aspire to be and live by, right? And someone asked him, I think, you know, do you believe in Allah? And he was like, no. And I'm like, see, this is where the West really fumbles. Allah is just the Arabic word for God.
I had an incident once in an aeroplane.
Yeah.
A lady sat beside me and she was trying to convert me
to Christianity.
She's just a medicure little repetitive, whatever. Yeah. And she said, because you need to believe in God. And I said, I believe in God.
Of course.
No, you believe in Allah. I said, no, I believe in Bangadon. She said, what? I said, Bangadon. What is that? I said, that's the name of God in Filipino.
It's just, Allah is the Arabic word for God. That's all it is, you know? So I find that very interesting when they say that, because if you ask me in English as a Christian, do you believe in God? Yeah, because God is Allah. Dieu in French, like Dios in Spanish, like
ma femtish. It's actually there.
I don't get it. You know, it's literally the same word. Mm. So it's, but the thing that, for example, I do, yes, find it in any way, shape, or form, but just find God, you know? So what I do is, for example, I watch George Janko and I watch Candace Owens, and I quite really admire them, you know? But if they ever say something about the Bible or a lesson in the Bible, I take it and I go find the Muslim version of it, just because for me, I am a Muslim and I do love my religion. And I will find that the lesson that they have in their Bible, I will find the exact verse for it in my Quran. Mm. See, some people will be like, why are you watching Christian creators? But actually, I've used it as a tool to enable me to go look even further into my religion and get closer to my religion. So I'll go find the ayah of it in my Quran, and that way I've memorized now a new ayah. So
see,
it's always the lens of which you choose to see things from.
The commonality, the common ground between all faiths, there is a massive, massive common ground. And definitely between religion, the last three religions, there's a lot of common grounds. But it depends what we want to focus on. Because if you want to focus on differences within...
You will find all the differences.
Within your own same religion, there are so many different groups and sects and mazhabs.
I'm just very not careful. I'm very specific with this because... There are so many people of the same religion that have nothing to do with my religion. They're just by name. And that's okay for them. But to me, I would rather connect with someone on a spiritual level. You can be of a different faith, but we have such a deep understanding because the energy is the same. It is the one God, you know, like you said. Mm. So to me, I've spoken to so many Muslims that have, I cannot even connect with them on a spiritual level. There is no understanding. There is no energetic and at whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. It's an individualistic state.
It's
the idea that you can go generalize on
Yes, but I will also simultaneously say, because a lot of people will come for me, I've met some phenomenal Muslims, beautiful Muslims that have made me fall deeper in love with my religion. So again, whatever you want to find, whatever you go looking for, you will find.
True.
So, and I say this with even my videos. One of my videos now that's getting so much backlash, when it's the first one before we explained it deeper, the value of a man and the value of a woman. Right. And this, can we just discuss this for a second? It really blew my mind. Any video where I'm talking about a narcissistic man, or I'm bashing men, I wouldn't even say bashing, but just talking about the negatives of men and what women should do, those videos do wonders. Those go viral. All the comments are extremely positive. Any video where I'm remotely, minutely
criticizing women,
just giving men a little bit of a pat on the back and just telling women do better, you know, people lose their minds. Like when I talked about that, one girl commented, someone explained the patriarchy to her.
Oh, I was reading that. I loved it. And she actually came back. And
she came back, and like there's like 95 replies to her. I think now it's in the hundreds. And someone commented as well, y'all really didn't understand her message. She's just saying toxic men exist, toxic women exist. But she doesn't like referring to toxic masculinity and femininity, because to me, masculinity and femininity is divine. You're a toxic person.
Bit you a hand and a leg on it. That she belongs to an extreme.
She does.
Yes. Yeah. You opened her profile?
I did.
I did not.
We did.
But why would you react so much?
Yes. So it goes back to what we were saying.
What did we say?
For me, those extreme negative comments, for you to be sitting behind a screen, I'm someone you don't know, living on a completely different continent, because my audience is very India, very UK, very America, a little bit of Dubai. And so for you to be sitting in a completely different continent, right? You don't know me and I don't know you. For you to be so triggered that you have to go and comment this, it's because I said something that picked a hurt that you have. And that's completely fine. But guess what? I genuinely don't care. Because like I said, if my reel comes upon your page, you're meant to see it for a reason. It could either be to reinforce the limitations that unbox that you've put yourself in, which by all means, go be exactly as you are. I'm so okay with that. I have no qualms about that. Or to plant a seed, and this is a message that you needed to hear. And those are the people that I'm here for. The DMs that I get of, I needed to hear this today. That's all I care about. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think she came back to say that she was, like when she was saying that, she's from India as well. She's Indian. Like one of your major target audience.
I know. My target audience.
So I think
I'm going to find the comments while you're talking. Yeah.
Yeah, no, please go through it. Like she replied to her own comment later and she said that it's just because I live in a very prevalent society where patriarchy exists and where she's surrounded by probably...
So I didn't read a lot of the comments.
I did. I was a whole thread.
We're at 678 comments now.
You're kidding. 600?
Yeah, we're at 678.
Replies to her.
So, no, 678 under the video in general.
Oh, okay.
And then, there was one comment that I found really, really beautiful and I really want to read it. I think it was a guy answering her. Let me find it, because this girl popped off.
She literally really did.
Yeah, she did.
She really did.
Let me find this dude that commented. So see, anyway, this is her comment. Okay, let me find the 110 answers under her comments. 110.
Oh yeah, there we go. I found the video.
110 comments under her answer. So one person commented she actually came from a balanced perspective and called both sides of a toxicity problem. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. People commented every if and or but. You know what I mean? My video is clear. Mm-hmm. And even in the second video where we answered that woman's comment, a girl commented and I shared it on my story. She's like, it's really sad. Anyone with two brain cells understood this from the first video. It's really sad that you had to come and re-explain it.
I know. Yeah.
My video is clear. It is clear for whoever wants to understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go looking for the value and the beauty in what I said, you'll find it.
The lack of clarity is within you.
Is within you. If you go looking for, but she said this that didn't make sense, you will find it. And by all means, find it. there's a lot of times people like this who think this way, especially in the most negative of ways. I always just say, alhamdulillah, that I don't have their brain. They have to live with that 24 hours a day. If you go looking for trouble, you'll find it. If you go looking for problems, you'll find it. If you go looking for trauma and drama and issues, I guarantee you, you will find tons and heaps of it. If you go looking for beauty, beauty will come back looking for you 10 times harder. I will say this until the day I die. Be very careful what you're setting yourself out to attract and reach and aspire to. It just blows my mind.
Can I read what she's replied to her own comment?
Yeah, go for it. She contradicts herself 10 times, Daddy.
No. First, her initial comment is, somebody please explain to her about patriarchy. And then she comes back and she says, I agree with her that the opposite exists, but I don't believe that they cancel each other. I only want to point out that we speak about toxic masculinity, not singularly, but with respect to how it is easier for patriarchal societies to turn a blind eye towards toxic masculinity and be quick to judge the feminine counterparts. Being able to talk about that in particular without bringing any gender is equity.
I'm
going to
be so sorry. I snoozed. I don't even remember anything you said. I'm so sorry. You lost me after the first two words.
That's really badly written.
Because she butchered the English language, but you know what? I take that back. Some people, it's not their first language. She's trying. I get it. She lost me because she's not making any sense, which is fine. One dude commented, and that's basically the gist of what I want to say. He commented, wait, am I to understand that the second someone brings up toxic femininity, y'all are going to lose your minds? Ooh, and that's literally beautiful. What it was. Beautiful. Just because I said toxic femininity, y'all lost your minds. And when I said I don't believe in toxic masculinity, it's crazy that I have to say this again. Masculinity cannot be toxic. Masculinity and femininity are divine. They are divinely given. If you are a toxic masculinity, you are not masculine. You are strictly toxic.
I heard, what is his name, this MMA fighter?
Habib. Oh, you want me to say the story?
Please.
Okay. He was saying this to me, that Habib, the MMA or UFC, will get dragged for this.
I got told that MMA Googling. Is UFC.
UFC or MMA will get dragged. Okay, so Habib the fighter, keeping it PC, Habib the fighter was interviewed and he was asked a question. If you were to be stranded on an island and you only had a person and a human, or a best friend, was it?
Yeah, from your friends.
It was strictly your friends. And he
UFC.
Was... UFC, okay. So Habib, the UFC fighter, was asked in an interview, if you were stranded on an island and you had to choose between a friend and you had two items to bring with you, a good friend and a book. What are the friend and the book that you would, who is the friend and what is the book that you would bring with you? And he said, why would I bring a friend? When God made Adam, He didn't create a friend for him, or a mother, or a brother, or a father, or a sister, or a cousin. He made a wife, a woman, a half that completes him, right? Mm. So if I am stranded on an island, what would I do with my best of friends? What I need is what God intended for me, a partner, a woman, a good woman who is my half.
That's a man who doesn't only know how to fight. He knows the value of a woman.
Yes, absolutely. That is an alpha male by all means, you know?
Toxic masculine.
And then they want to call him a toxic masculine. Masculinity cannot be toxic. Masculinity is given by God. It is divine. If you are toxic, you lack masculinity.
Say that again, so I'm proud.
You know, so that's why when I'm saying I don't believe in toxic masculinity, because masculinity in its essence cannot be toxic. Femininity in its essence cannot be toxic. But what I said in the video, if you guys want to talk about toxic masculinity, then talk about toxic femininity that you believe in so much, you know. But anyway, so he says about this woman. And then he says, and the book that I would take is, of course, the Quran, because he's a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks volumes. That is... an alpha, and I believe in the beauty of alpha males, because that is divine masculinity by all intents and purposes. He is in his pure divine masculine, and he opted for a woman.
Mm.
I would opt for a woman.
No one asked you, Dad.
Any man would opt for a woman. What would you do on an island alone?
Daddy, it's Ramadan. Keep it halal.
Halal.
But, no, I understand. But, that's... but even a woman, if she's asked this question, why would you ask for your girlfriend?
You will kill each other.
Why would you? I would ask for a divine masculine who will help me survive on the island. Another girl's not going to know what to do. I don't know what to do on an island. You know, I would ask for the most divine of divine masculines who will help me make this island a home. Create a family.
Yeah.
So it should be, that answer should go both ways, you know? But anyway, the fact that I even need to reiterate what I meant by toxic masculinity just blows my mind. But again, if I post this again, that little clip of what I just explained, people will lose their minds. But I have no problems with that. I quite enjoy it.
It is called brainwashing. People are brainwashed through what they think they are, thoughts and concepts and values.
Yeah. I used to shy away from it because I grew up in Jordan, and I will call out Jordan for this, you know? If you ever brought up a hadith or an ayah, who do you think you are? Are you suddenly, like, so religious? Like, especially that you're not hijabi or whatever, and they kind of, like, really, like, shut me down every time I tried, right? But then, that's fine, because I was raised by a man
who does... No one has the right to hijack religion and call it his...
No one. I agree. And now I don't shy away from it because the lessons that have helped me the most, the thing that has saved my life is God and the Quran. I cannot deny it. You know what I mean? And the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, first and foremost, like right after God. It is what saved my life. It is when I am in pain or in agony, the first thing I will do is make wudu and go pray.
Tell them the story of saying salam to the sheep. When you're doing your license in Jordan.
Yeah.
When you're doing your, trying to get your license and you're driving the car with the lady beside you and the sheep passed and you said, Salaamu Alaikum to the sheep.
I don't remember this.
You don't remember that?
I want to know that story. You got to tell me that off camera.
I taught them.
To respect life. Like even with us, and this is something where, for example, when the Adhan comes, my dad stands up like out of respect, you know, like the Adhan. He stands up and you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh.
Marhaban bi dhikrillah, what you say?
And then he, is that what you say? Not Ashhadu?
After that.
And then Marhaban bi dhikrillah and sits down. And he taught us that. And I really appreciate him teaching us that because it taught me to be disciplined, to be respectful. And once my sister and I did it, and it was Ramadan and we were in Jordan and we were out with two girls. One of the girls was the one I mentioned before. And we got up and her friend is a friend that I have hated since the day I saw her. She looks evil. And she, when we did that, she looked at us and was like, what's this? And with this ugly, like, vicious look on her face, who taught you this? That's not true. And I was like, I don't care if you want to do it or you don't, but shut the hell up about what I'm doing. None of your goddamn business. But anyway, it's just to me, I don't shy away from it. I go looking for it. I really do. I love it. I watch videos. I watch Imam Omar Sliman, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. I go out of my way to find them because there is a peace that comes upon me when I am feeling sad. I make wudu and I get up and pray and there's a weight lifted off of me. I learned to pray for my enemies. That was a big one, you know. Everything in life, our religion has taught us. Everything.
I have not ever sat with my children and told them how to pray, what are the rules of prayer, how many rak'ahs. They can go and always read a small book and they pamphlet like this.
It's everything different when you go looking for it. It's you.
What I taught them is a connection and love to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's where I tried my best to hook them to this amazing personality, amazing.
Can I add? The way he did it was very smart. He just talked about it, not as I'm preaching, as he's like a little boy excited to share a story. And then I became envious. That is the one and only time in my life I ever envied someone. I was so jealous of this love and relationship that he had that I wanted it myself. I didn't want to take it away from him. So jealous maybe is the better word. I wanted it as well.
For you, yeah.
And I remember, so here's also an interesting story. I never get up to pee at night. Never. It's not a thing that I do, okay? And we were in Jordan.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's a different story. But it's the same. It goes back to this. You'll understand. I know it's an interesting segue. But I never get up to pee at night. And my sister and I in Jordan, our rooms are opposing each other and there's a bathroom in between. And then there's the hallway and you go into the living room and the salon, right? And my dad, for as long as I can remember, I don't even remember, like I can't remember the day he didn't, gets up for Qiyam al-Layl, which means a few hours before Fajr prayer, and to do the tahajjud. And I got up, there was one night where I got up to pee. And I, and you know, you get up and you're like sand in your eyes still, and you're like this, and you just, you don't want to open your eyes because you don't want to wake up, right? And I opened my bedroom door, and there was this gust of cold, cold, crisp air. And it smelled of jasmines. I don't want to cry. And I knew it was because he was praying. And the jasmine scent was the scent of the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam. And I knew there was like a spiritual presence in the house. And that day was the day I was like this with my religion, even if not outwardly, at least inside. So there are things like that that you cannot deny.